You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Our series of hashtag life, we started by talking about students, then we talked about singles, then we've talked about married and parenting. And then now we get to this moment of midlife, to talk about midlife. Next week, we'll talk about kind of post-midlife and living a life of legacy. And Steve Stroop, who's been a pastor for 40 years in Rockwall, north of us in Dallas area at Lake Point Church, he's going to come in and speak about that. He's an amazing speaker, so you're going to love him. I'm going to visit our Cypress campus and be with them next week, which will be great. But we're talking about midlife right now. So if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at three verses of scripture from the Apostle Paul. Did you know that Paul is writing these scriptures in his 50s is when he's writing these scriptures? And then his late 60s or his early 60s when we get to the last one. Now, I'm not saying that Paul went through midlife like we'll go through midlife, but it's a good thing of him being at this age category and looking at three different passages of scriptures to understand this a little bit. So Siena, Cypress, downtown, radio, web, everybody at the Loop, to be able to just welcome you as we journey in this thing of midlife. Well, what is it? Well, it's kind of from your late 30s to your early 50s is what people would say. So if you're not in that category and you're heading that way, just listen up and you'll get some information. If you've already gone through it, maybe it'll help you understand a little bit. I'm realizing that I'm not quite as young as I used to be. Happened this week. Just this week, it's interesting when God gives you an illustration for your message this week. I was with some pastors earlier in the week, and it was about 20 of us, and I knew some of them, and I didn't know some others, and so I was getting to know this one gentleman, and he was getting to know me, so we're asking one another each questions, and he asked me this, "Do you have any kids or grandkids?" Holy Toledo. I was like, I wanted to call Kelly and be like, do I need to start coloring my hair? I mean, what's going on here? What's going on? This is the first time anybody's ever asked me this in my life. Do I have grandkids? No, I got a sixth grader. I don't have grandkids. But all of a sudden I realized, well, things are maybe a little bit different than what I thought they were and where I am. That's an interesting place to be. So this journey of midlife. An interesting passage, an interesting journey that we go through. I want you to look in Romans chapter 8. It's two verses of scripture, and obviously all of these points and all of these scriptures are good for wherever you are in life. But in verse 20 and 21, this is what it says in Romans chapter 8. For the creation was subjected to futility or frustration, not willingly, but because of him, that's God, who subjected it in the hope that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. So Paul is giving this. He's written this about 56 AD. He's in his early 50s at this time. And here's the point he wants us to get from that couple of verses of scripture. Frustration can lead to freedom. Frustration can lead to freedom. Do you know what it says there? It says that all of creation has been subject to frustration. By who? By God. In hope that we would walk in freedom. That's the summation of those two verses of scripture. Life is frustrating. And when you enter into midlife in particular, you start to realize life is always going to be frustrating. It always has been. It always will be. Have you ever used a phrase like this? It's always something. It's always something. If it's not something broken at the house, it's something broken at with the car, it's something going on at work, it's something going on with family. If it's not this, it's that. It's always something. Life is frustrating. And I remember when I was younger, I thought, man, those adults have it easy. I mean, we got finals. All they got is marriage and family and kids and work. I mean, that's cake, right? But then you realize what you thought was going to be this cruise control, actually there's still frustration that is there. And at some point you kind of get to midlife and you just go, this is so frustrating. We can never fix all this. We can never get all this right. There's always somebody at work. There's always somebody in the neighborhood. There's always something going on in the family. There's always something taking place. And the frustrations of life never end. But see, the goal of the frustrations of life are not that God would end them. It's that God would change us. So what he wants to do is he doesn't want to change all the circumstances. He wants to change us in the middle of the circumstances. So we take the frustrations and say, Lord, it'll never be perfect, but in hope, I want to walk in the freedom of Christ, that Jesus Christ, who was perfect, died on a cross to pay for my sins and to live in my heart through the Holy Spirit, so that this suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits in heaven. And so, Lord, I want to take all these frustrations and I want to give them to you. And I want my frustrations to actually lead me to freedom in you. I want to use these things to begin to look up. I've been looking horizontal my whole life, trying to figure out how to make everything perfect. I want to instead go, Lord, you got to take care of it. You're the one that subjected this world to this stuff to get us to go. You use suffering to bring us to us, to you. And none of us are going to go through life without suffering. See, what happens when you get a little bit older is you move from being an astronaut to an archaeologist. That's what Paul David Tripp says. You move from an astronaut to an archaeologist. What does that mean? When you're young, hey, we're going to change the world. We're going to explore new places. We're going to do things. We're going to make this happen. And then you get a little bit older and you move from an astronaut. I want to do more, be more, go more, do this, do that. Not that you lose all your drive, but it just kind of changes from astronaut to archaeologist. So now you begin to go through the mound of your life and to pull things out. And you love flipping through that old scrapbook or that old yearbook. You find yourself turning your radio station to songs from your past. And you begin to be an archaeologist. And as you begin to archaeology with your own life, you're like, well, how does this fit with this? And how did this lead to that? And how do I put this whole thing together? And instead of wanting new, we want to go back to old. We look forward to the class reunion. We look good. We look forward to old friends we want to give a call to. And we move from astronaut to archaeologist because it's just different. But the goal is not that we would just leave moving forward, but that we would give our forward to Jesus Christ and allow him to take that frustration and give us freedom. And when we give it to the Lord, we realize that there's a reason for the season that we're in right now, that you're in your life. There's a reason for that season, that God's put you in that place. But if you don't realize that, here's what the frustration will do. You'll think you'll solve the frustration. If you can just get a new job, then that'll solve all your frustration. You can just get a new husband. That'll solve all your frustration. Get a new wife, trade in the older model of spouse for a newer model of spouse, and that'll end all the frustration. If we could just get a little bit more money, if I could just get a little more house, if I get a little more car, that'll take care of everything. I just need to trade in the old and get some new. Well, here's the greatness of the gospel. Jesus Christ has traded the old for the new in you. And it's the old self of sin to be traded for the new righteousness that we can have in Christ. So in that frustration, God has subjected us to it, and it's part of it. Why, though, in verse 21, in hope that we would give it to him and we would walk in a stronger way. In Paul David Tripp's book, it's called Lost in the Middle, Midlife in the Grace of God. I read this book this summer, and we've got it at Corner Books for you, and I'd love for you to pick up a copy if this message hits your heart. It's a great book, really great book. It's I don't know him, so I'll say this. It's a bit wordy, okay? So you can skip a few stories in here and still get the gist of it, but it's really a great, great book. And he gives us three things in this book about midlife. I want to give them to you. One, there's a discontent that happens in midlife. We get discontent. And it's not just one thing. It's just kind of a general feeling of, do I want to keep doing this? I've been doing my career for 20 years now, 25, 30, whatever you've been doing, 15 years. And do I want to keep doing this? I'm just kind of ready. Been there, done that. There's just a feeling of discontent that happens. And that's where we can blow up our life if we don't take that discontentment to the contentment of Christ. So there's a discontent, a general feeling of, do I want to do this forever? There's a disoriented. We're a little bit disoriented. I thought I knew who I was, but I'm not quite sure anymore. Who am I? What is this journey in this next chapter of life? Who am I in this way? I know who I am in the past, but I'm not sure I know who I am in the future. I've taken a lot of spiritual gift tests and personality tests. I took one this summer. And when I took it, my wife took it and as well. And we looked at how we interact together after 22 years of marriage. We've had a wonderful marriage, but it was great to see these things together. And I've just read over it probably 3 or 4 times to just, who am I? Because I want to get in the right lane for these next years. Because I can read these things and understand. Go, that's why that bugs me so much. That's why I'm not good at that. And I'll never be good at it. And I'll never like it. I'll never enjoy it. but I am good at this, so let me get in this lane for this next leg of life to be able to understand. There's a disoriented that we have in life. Who am I? What am I doing? Who are you as a mom when your kids get older or leave the home? Who are you as a dad or as an employer or employee? Do you know that? There's a disoriented aspect of life. Number three, in midlife, we can be discouraged. Be discouraged. One, maybe we're more successful than we ever thought we could be, yet it doesn't feel as good as we thought it would. Or we've realized we're never going to be the CEO. We're always going to be in middle management. We're never going to have the house at the end of the cul-de-sac with the big mansion and to make everything look pretty. It's just not going to happen. We're never going to make it all the way to Europe. It's not going to take place. It's just some things that we realize it's not going to happen. And it gets to be discouraging in that moment where maybe it was some things have happened and you thought it would feel different or better. Maybe you thought you'd have this many kids and you have that many kids or no kids at all. You thought you'd be at the CEO desk and you're not. What is it? There's things that happen that we just get discouraged. Give you from my own personal life. I've gotten to write 4 books, which is a blessing, and I hope that God uses them in great ways. And they've been prayed over. They've been written with prayer. They've been hours upon hours upon hours. They've been dedicated to God. I've had people pray over the manuscripts. But I just realized I'm not going to probably be a best-selling author in Christianity. Just not going to happen. Now, they've done well and good, and it's fine. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm not trying to do that. I mean, if you haven't bought one, you should feel bad. I mean, help a brother out. I mean, come on. I'm your pastor. We're family. At least get one or say something about it. I mean, but in 4 books in, it hadn't happened yet. Maybe the 5th one will be the one. But does that mean that I should never write? Does that mean that it's been for naught just because it hasn't been quite what I thought it would be? No. I get emails almost every week of somebody says, man, when you wrote that, it really changed my heart. Just one by ones, but not tens of thousands by twenties of thousands by hundreds of thousands. So it's a little bit different of what you think's going to happen in your life and what's going to really happen in your life. So what do you do with that? You take all of that and you give it to the Lord. And you say, God, I give this as an offering to you. This is who I am and where I am and what's going on. And I give it to you, God, and I let you take the frustrations and the blessings and all these things that are good, bads. It's archaeology, right? There's some broken things and there's some amazing things. And so I give this all to you, God, because I want my frustration to lead to my freedom. Not that I blow up my life, but freedom in Christ in my life. Now, look at the second thing that Paul's going to tell us. It's found in Philippians chapter 3. He's going to give us another thing, Philippians chapter 3. Paul's writing this in his late 50s. And again, I'm not trying to say that Paul's going through a midlife crisis or anything like that. I just think it's interesting, the time period in which he's writing this. Philippians chapter 3, it's verse 12 through 15. And let's look at it, and I'll read it off the screen because, you know, my glasses can't read this small print anymore in midlife. So, just kidding. Not that I have already reached the goal or I am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. So I'm everything together, but God's got me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as taking hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I reach forward to what is ahead. He's still thinking for the future. Verse 14, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature, listen to that word, mature. He's in his 50s writing this. Think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. Here's Paul's point in that passage of scripture. Don't stop now, there's more to come. Don't stop now, there's more to come. What's Paul trying to tell us? What's God trying to tell us? What am I trying to tell us? Don't stop now, there is more to come. There is more that God wants to do with you. There's more that he wants to have you walk through. There's something greater. So let's don't stop now. And what happens in midlife is we want to stop. See, our culture is shifted from labor to leisure. And work has become a curse instead of a calling. So we want to stop and figure out at the earliest point we can possibly retire. And we can get out of this and just get to the mountains and get to the beach and just sit back and not have to do all this stuff anymore because we've been doing it and we're sick of it. We're tired of it. And God's saying, don't stop. There's more to come. Now, am I saying don't retire? Of course you can retire. Don't have a vacation? Of course have a vacation. But don't lose your sight of the impact that you have. of what God can do through you. Pastor friend told me this just recently. It was very wise, but also kind of ticked me off a little bit. He said this. He said, the church tolerated your green years, and now they'll be blessed by your gray years. They tolerated your green years, and now they'll be blessed by your gray years. Now, am I trying to say, because I got a few more gray hairs, I'm a big blessing now? That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying this. A lot of times when we get the wisdom of life, then we check out and pass it on down to the kids to run the thing. And so we've got to be able to take that wisdom and to know there's something greater, and God wants us to pour that back, and there's things that he wants us to be a part of. And there's a blessing that comes with that gray. There's a blessing that comes with that wisdom. There's a blessing that comes with journeying through life and some of the aches and pains that we're able to share with the other generations to help them not make the same mistakes. So the best is yet to come. Have you heard the phrase dad bod? You know what a dad bod is? It's when those big, strong muscles the teenage guys have up top move to the flab and pudgy down here at the bottom. That's what it is, a dad bod. But let me tell you what, there's good news for us, guys. 78% of people think that confidence is king in the world. Nearly 4 out of 5 women believe a dad bod is a sign of a man who is confident in his own skin. How about that? Here's what goes on further, another quote that's here. It says, a dad bod's requirements is a little less about total disregard for your health and physical appearance. It's more about embracing the small doughy sections that come from not hitting the gym 19 times a day. 65% of people say a dad bod is attractive. Yeah, come on. The best is yet to come. Guys, we're looking better than ever. And so we've got to be able to lay these frustrations down. It's just not going to be like it was in high school. And just be able to say there's more to come. And Paul is saying, I am going to let go of what's behind. And I'm going to press on to what's ahead. Because God has got a use for me and a place for me in a great way of how he wants to use me. You know, a lot of us think we'd be further along than we are. We thought we'd be a better parent than we were. Or are. We thought we'd be a better spouse. We thought we'd be more successful. We thought we'd be a better friend. We thought this would turn out differently than it did. But we just got to understand where we are. God has something for you and something for me that is a future that God has for all ages to be able to say, I want you to focus in on the more of what God can do in your life. Don't worry about all the past stuff. Press on to the things that are in the future. Here's what happens in midlife. There's a compression that happens. You're raising your kids and your kids still need you. And now you're finding that your parents are aging and your parents need you. And all of a sudden there becomes this compression that happens in this moment where you're becoming an archaeologist, not an astronaut, and you've got all this stuff. Your energy's a little bit different. Your time of recovery after events is a little bit different. And now your parents are on one side and your kids are on the other side and you're more needed possibly than you've ever been needed in your life. Yet in these moments, you're like, well, how do I do this? How do I transition in this? What do I do with this? And in that, you've got to lay it to the Lord and say, God, you've got to give me the strength and the energy. So if you're a parent that's getting a little bit older and your kids are adults now and they're in midlife, let me just give you a couple tips. If you want to bless your family as you bless your family, get your stuff together and clean out your closets, okay? Those two things will help us considerably. All the stuff you've been amassing for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years that you think we want, we probably don't want, okay? Get rid of all that, but then at the same time, I say that jokingly, get your stuff together with power of attorney and your will and all these things. We have a ministry in our church. We help people do that because it will really make a mess as you're trying to raise kids and get the kids through and also take care of your parents, and there's a compression, but we got to focus. Lord, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to trust you with what you have. See, a lot of times we can think it's the ending of things in midlife. The nest is beginning to be empty, and we talk about all these, well, it's the last this, and it's the last that, and it's the last this and that. Kelly and I had lunch with a couple of good friends of ours, and a little bit further along in a stage of life. They said, yeah, but don't forget about all the firsts that are coming in your life. There's a gloriousness of a first day of college, a time you meet that girlfriend or that boyfriend that's going to turn into that wife or husband. There's a first grandbaby that's tremendous and amazing. There's a first trip you take as an empty nester. There's a first, all these things that happen. that are moving forward and going forward of what God wants to do. So I tell you this, frustration can lead to freedom. Don't stop now. There's more to come. And then the third thing Paul's going to give us. Here's what he's going to do, and then I'll tell you about the scripture. He's going to ask us to focus on friendships. Focus on friendships, okay? It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 22. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passage of scripture to you because it's really wordy. It's long. But I want you to turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And you can just glance over it and read it later. But what he's going to do is he's going to give 16 names by my counting. Maybe I missed one or two. Let's call it 15 to 17. 16 names that he's going to say these people at the end of his life. He's in his early 60s at this point. He's going to die by being martyred by Nero. Ever heard of Nero? Not a good guy. Nero is going to cut Paul's head off. I've been to the place where he was martyred in Rome. It's outside the gates of Rome, the walls of Rome. They call it outside the walls. And that's because if you're going to take a really popular person and you're going to execute him, you don't want to do that in the center of the city because riots will ensue. You want to take him outside the walls and take care of him there. Peter and Paul were killed around the same time. And so this is a big moment for Christianity. How are we going to do after Peter and Paul are gone? So Paul is beheaded. The story goes that when he was beheaded, his head bounced three times and three fountains sprung up at the place where his head bounced. Okay, so they call it the Abbey of Three Fountains. Now, I don't think that really happened, okay? But if you do, amen. Go ahead. That's great. But it does make it for a little bit more of an interesting tourist stop, okay? So we've got the three fountains that have happened there where Paul's head bounced three times. He's saying this. This is the last bit of scripture we get from Paul before he dies. And what in God's sovereignty does he talk about but relationships? Let me tell you what. It's not about your stuff. It's not about the things you have. It's not about what's on your business card. It's about the relationships in your life. And so we start to get to be about that, realize that in midlife. It's really about the people, isn't it? It's about our kids, and it's about our parents, and it's about our friends, and it's about our kids' parents that have now become our friends. It's about all these different connections that we have. That's what it's really about. Because see, what happens in midlife is we've spent so much time becoming, we're now learning how to be. And what it looks like to be, instead of just charging the next hill as an astronaut, we're looking at the mound as an archaeologist saying, well, what really means anything? And what's really true? What really makes a difference? So Paul talks about 16 different people. He talks about Demas. He says, Demas left the faith and he went off to this present world. You're going to have people that fall away in your life. He's going to talk about Mark. And Mark is one, if you were to look back into Acts 17, Mark and Paul had a little tiff, little fight. But now he says, but Mark, he's right here with the gospel, and so a relationship came back together. But he's also going to say, there's Luke, who's right here with me. Faithful, faithful Luke is right there. You're going to have faithful friends in your life that are going to be with you, and your old friends that you love to call and talk with that have been with you through all these years. Then he says, but Alexander the metal worker has done me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. Be careful when you're around him. There's going to be relationships in your life that are just never going to come back to what they were before. Now, I know there's a bunch of verses, tons of verses on be forgiving and let's be at peace with all men. And I'm not trying to negate those verses and we should try with all of those sort of things. But I'm just telling you, when you get to the end of your life, there's going to be people that you don't like and there's going to be people that don't like you. And it may never come back together. I hope that it does. Pray that it does. Let's do our parts as believers to help that to happen. But there's just going to be some Alexander the metal workers that are just going to do you a great deal of harm, and you're going to have to say the Lord will repay him for what he's done. So in that moment, there's all these people that are around him, and we've got to understand that it's about relationships. That's what it's about. So when we hit this time where, yeah, we don't kind of have the body we wanted to have, we don't invest in the fleetingness of beauty. Ladies, beauty is fading. Gentlemen, handsomeness is fading. Success is fading. But relationships are eternal. Do you still pray for the one that's who's your one that we talked about weeks ago? You're going to invite them to Christmas celebration maybe? Be a part of their life because it's about relationships of letting God do something great through you. So if you're in a frustration of midlife, give it to the Lord and experience the freedom of knowing there's something greater ahead for you. And God's got something more for you. There's a reason for your season that you're in right now. And in that, I think what one of the main things is going to be is the relationships in your life. Relationships in your life. And then you could journey through your season of midlife or season of whatever you're in, focused in on relationships. In this book by Paul David Tripp, he gives a kind of a little bit of a quote that I could relate with, and maybe you will too. At this point of midlife, there's been scores of report cards, progress reports. There's been countless teachers' conferences and athletic events, camps, proms. There's been more day trips and weekends away and vacations than I'm able to recount. There have been endless moments of discipline and correction and instruction. We have purchased mountains of clothes, truckloads of food. But my wife and I have talked and prayed and discussed and wept along the way. We have escaped to an endless number of restaurants just to be together. We have left behind a parking lot of used up vehicles, a warehouse of outgrown clothes, and mounds of broken glass and dishes and decorations. They are just artifacts of a family civilization gone by. Yet it has all passed with blinding speed and largely went unnoticed. It goes by so fast. But it's those relationships that truly last, in investing in those. Number one, the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the number one. That's what gets our lives right. That's the only way we can understand life. And maybe you don't have that, and you can trust in Christ today as your Savior. Or come back to Him. Then relationships with your family and your friends. That you go, you know what? Let's spend some time together. We've been too busy for these years. Let's be together and savor one another. That's what Paul's saying in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He's trying, or chapter 4, trying to declare that. Let me give you a last thing, a last illustration. Y'all know I like country music. I've shared that before in different things, and there's a great song called The Older I Get by Alan Jackson. This is what it says. It's so good. The older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and stuff, that makes you rich. The older I get, the fewer friends I have. But you don't need a lot when the ones that you've got have always got your back. The older I get, the longer I pray. I don't know why. I guess it's I just got more to say. The older I get, the more thankful I feel for all the life that I've had and all the life that I'm living still. Here's the chorus. Last thing. I'm going to read it to you twice, but I want you to hear it. This is so good. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop. And that's the truth. Funny how it feels. I'm just getting to my best years yet. Hear that again. If they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels. I'm just getting to my best years yet, the older I get. Let me tell you, wherever you are, God has a future for you. God has a plan for you. God's got you right where you are for a particular time, for such a time as this. And all the old folks all want to be younger. And all the youngers all want to be older. But what if we were just who we are for Jesus Christ? Isn't that what God's will is? To just be yourself. Receive it. Walk in it. Live in it. And give it to Jesus. And the frustrations will turn to actual freedom of what God wants to do. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for whatever stage we're in right now, Lord. For some, it's being a student. For some, it's newly married. Others, it's parenting or singlehood. For some, it's midlife. Some, it's post-midlife. We just thank you, God, that you're able to speak to us. All of these truths are for every single one of us. But allow us to hear from you, God. And to offer up where we are to you to be used by you. Would you just, in the quietness of your heart, would you just pray and say, Lord, I'm grateful for where I am today. Now say, Lord, use me where I am today. I'm grateful for where I am today. Use me for where I am today. It's all going by fast. Father, may relationships with others and most importantly you be our number one priorities, no matter what age we are. We trust you.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.